Friday's USDA Prospective Plantings Report put corn acres at 90.454 million acres, the highest since World War II, while soybean acres were the lowest projection in a decade at 67.140 million acres. Are the two crops heading in different directions on the board? We'll discuss that and more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. It's our spring pledge drive, and we've got a challenge underway. If we receive 75 calls in support of AM 580 Agriculture, we will receive $1,000. Go to your phones now and call us toll-free at 866-779-9455 with your $100 pledge. We depend on your contributions to make this show possible. 866-779-9455 is the number to call.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Our panelists today are Brian Stark of the Andersons, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, and Vince Renicki of Strategic Farm Marketing. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Friday lead option and harvest month corn futures fell 20 cents on the board. Lead option soybeans were down 17 cents. At one point, harvest beans were actually up a cent and a half before settling 15 cents lower. Friday, soybeans tried to diverge itself from corn, but really couldn't get the job done. Do you expect corn and soybeans to diverge over the next 2 months? And if so, in what direction, Bill?
Well, I guess my thought would be that, no, I think they're going to probably go somewhat in tandem. I think we saw that today. There's every reason in the world for the soybeans to go higher with the lower acreage number, and they didn't. I think it's still, in the overall scheme of things, an acreage situation as we look at demand down the road, and the market now may be actually trying to get some more acres back into the bean side of it.
May wheat had a high on the week of 469, a low of 431. May wheat finishing the week at 438, down 23.5 from last week. July, 453.75, down 21.25 from a week ago. May corn, a high on the week of 403, a low of 374.5. May corn finishing the week at 374.5, down 28.75 from last week. December corn, 383.5, down 26.25 from a week ago. USDA increased corn acres by 12.1 million over 2006. Using a yield of 153 bushels to the acre, that produces a crop of 12.6 billion bushels and a carryout of 1.2 billion bushels. Is the flat price still too high, Vince?
Well, 1.2 certainly isn't, 1.2 billion in carryout certainly isn't an overly abundantly large number. So, you're going to have arguments all through the season, especially with all the weather risk that we still have to have built into this corn market. Things look decent so far, maybe a little on the wet side in some areas, but we're a little early yet, too. So with that in mind, I guess, is it too high? Is it too low? It's really tough to tell right now with the way that with as much weather risk as we have left in this market, and certainly today's dent was a pretty big dent in the armor, though.
Taking a look at it another way, Brian, synthetic prices on Friday were in the 361 to 363 level. Do we come back on Monday and test those prices?
I think we're probably going to follow through a little bit with selling, Dave. Obviously, there was a lot of contracts that didn't get filled at the close. Luckily, fortunately for us, wasn't a big purchasing day at the Andersons, particularly today. We would have had to look at buying puts or selling calls to actually get a hedge on for anything we bought. You just couldn't get anything traded today with it being limit down. So I think that'll follow through, whether it's overnight trade Sunday or a little bit follow through on Monday. But eventually, the emotion will come out of it, but there's probably going to be a little more selling and follow through next week.
What do you view the potential downside risk in both old and new crop corn over the next month, Bill?
Well, I guess I would view that in the short term or the next month. I think this 354 area, which is about 20 cents lower than tonight's close on the nearby May corn, I think that's a logical area to look at. You have to be realistic that we did some real chart damage today. That's kind of where we started. That's, I think, about where we traded right before that January report on the nearby futures. And that's about a 50% retracement if you look at a continuation chart from the September lows to the highs that we saw last month. I guess that looks like a logical place that we could go down to. How long we stay there, I guess I'd question it's going to be a long time, though.
Do you feel that July will need to lead December corn higher on the board, and why or why not, Brian?
I don't think July corn needs to lead December. I think, if anything, the reduction in the second quarter feed usage numbers prove that. We've got plenty of corn. I think the USDA's projection was a little optimistic on the demand side. If you extrapolate out maybe a 5.65 usage figure on feed now, we're probably looking at actually an estimated carryout a little over a billion bushels heading in. So if you're talking 90 million acres with a 152 yield, you're talking really maybe 1.5, 1.6 carry out. So the demand structure, I think right now the Dease is probably going to stay fluent trying to keep those corn acres, but I think old crop values are probably going to be under more pressure than the new crop.
Tell us where you are currently in your new crop corn sales and what producers should be doing to maximize profits at this point, Vince.
Well, I think our last newsletter suggested that we should be 60% sold on new crop corn. You know, we've got obviously some customers that probably aren't quite to that point, perhaps some that are over that too. What should they do to maximize profit? I think first you got to be patient. Anytime you get a big emotional swing in a market like this, patience is going to pay. But at the same time, don't be too patient. And when I say that, I mean, don't set your sights as high as perhaps you were setting them prior to this report, because today's action shows you how quick it can go away too. And certainly we all know that weather can be a factor and can quickly become a factor. And I've heard a lot of rhetoric or talk about, well, how can we get to 150 to 55 bushel yield with where some of the corn acres are at? And some of the studies that we've done suggest that it's not as hard as a person would think. And we'd love to talk to anybody about some of the numbers we've ran through there too. But certainly be patient, but not too patient.
If you value Commodity Week or our other AM580 agricultural offerings, now is the time to go to the phone with your pledge of support. Call us with your $100 contribution and help us finish off a $1,000 challenge. The number to call is 217-244-9455. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. On our panel today is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, Vince Renicki of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Brian Stark of the Andersons. May soybeans had a high on the week of 779, a low of 742. May soybeans finishing the week at 761 and a quarter, down 8 1/4 from last week. November, 805, down 8 from a week ago. Let's take a closer look at Friday's soybean trade. Yes, lead futures were down 17 cents, but they finished above a short-term uptrend line drawn from January 12th and above its 20 and 50-day moving averages. Are the bulls still in control of the beans, Brian?
I think eventually they will, Dave. Right now, you've had extreme amount of pressure seen today with fund liquidation in corn, wheat, spill over into beans. But I think the function of the market, we've had basically an overshift. If you look at 67 million acres in harvested percentage, and if we have any yield under 40, all of a sudden, and putting off a potential supply problem in beans till 08, it starts to become a realization in 07. So I think eventually beans will have to draw 2 to 3 million more acres back into their camp to balance both commodities and feel comfortable on both ends.
USDA decreased soybean acres by 8.4 million from a year ago, and using a yield of 41.5 bushels to the acre, that would suggest a crop of 2.739 billion bushels and ending stocks of 195 million bushels. But South America is in the midst of harvesting a record crop in excess of 100 million metric tons. Do you anticipate that old and new crop beans are headed in different directions over the next month, Vince?
It's awfully tough to move old and new crop in different directions unless, of course, you move them together, move the new crop or the nearby higher and the old crop down, because we're already awfully close to full carry. I think the last number I saw was we were at roughly 84% of full carry. So if you're going to push one of them down, you're likely going to push both of them down. Or if you're going to run one of them up, you're probably going to run both of them up, because otherwise you produce opportunities in the carries that that would be awfully interesting and enticing to outside money. You know, I have a struggle here, you know, on beans. And Bill suggested it earlier whenever he talked about things working together. And I have a tough time finding that beans will be terribly bullish because of two things. Two things, number one being the 195, 200. I mean, you can easily make a case for 200 to 250 million and carry out at the end of 07, 08. That's pretty tough to make it. You know, I'm not real worried about that from a, you know, I don't need to get terribly bullish in that, in my opinion, in that case. We've certainly survived on less. You say, well, demand with biofuels is different, and I agree, but South America is still sitting on huge stocks too. The world is ripe with beans. We have plenty of beans in this world. Will we use them? I hope so, because we need to. Number two, I guess I would suggest that from a technical perspective, or from the way that commodities kind of trade together, I thought beans would react better today, not being down as much as they were. And I guess my hope is that when we pull the support out of corn, we don't pull it out of beans as well. I'm afraid we will, though.
Tell us where you are currently in your new crop soybean sales, Bill, and what producers should be doing at this point to maximize their profits.
We've currently been at 25 to 30% sales with the like amount with put options coverage. And, you know, if a person has done that, I think they just stand aside right now. If they haven't, I think they look for opportunities to get sales on. We follow a sell single system, and we feel like we'll get some additional sell singles on both corn and beans here in the next 60 to 90 days. And, You wait for those singles, as our marketing plan suggests. A couple of things I think need to be pointed out here, Dave, as we're talking about this. First of all, we have to remember this is a planning intentions report that we talked about this morning. Corn has dropped about 75 cents since the survey was taken on March 1st. Beans have dropped about 29 cents. I mean, I personally talked to two or three customers today that were questioning, you know, that hadn't put the anhydrous on. Maybe I won't do that, or we're going to tear up some wheat ground. Maybe I ought to put that in beans instead of corn. So I think we've already done some of that, at least consider making the farmer consider whether they want to go with that corn. The weather, of course, and the fertilizer cost, you know, all that enter into it. The other thing that I thought was very interesting and needs to be pointed out, I believe, is we had about three out of that 12 million acre increase, about 3 million was down in some states that really haven't raised much corn before: Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas. Arkansas almost tripled their corn acres, I think. So I think that's, you know, going back to what Vince said, I don't know how we come up with a yield, but you can go through state by state, and your trend yield may not be quite as high as what it would be if you just look at the national trend over the past several years.
One of the study I suggested, or that I kind of talked about a little bit earlier that we did some work on, just studied over some three-year averages. In other words, the last 3 years, if you look at the averages, the total U.S. three-year average of what we've done is 150.8. So that suggests that all states included, up, down, no matter what you did this go around, your three-year average has been 150.8. The Corn Belt states, the major six states that grow corn, which by the way, make up 46% of the increased acres, 5.6 million acres are made up by those six states. The average of those is 163.7 over the last 3 years. Iowa, of course, being number one at 173, and Illinois at number two at 162. The Delta and the Dakota states, we lumped those two together, saying those are some of those fringe areas, if you will. Okay, the three-year average for those states is 125.7, substantially less, of course, than the 150.8 that our national average looks like for the last 3 years. The total increase of those Delta and Dakota states, which include South Dakota, Missouri, North Dakota, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas, all together total 3.4 million acres, 28% of the increase. So our study suggested that roughly 75% of the increase comes from those two areas, the Corn Belt, which makes up roughly half, and the Delta and the Dakota states make up the other 25%, getting us to the 75%. And those two together, of course, that's where you work through what kind of yields will we see and everything else. And there's a whole long list of study there, but going back to our three-year average, it suggests that certainly we have the potential to get to a 151 if you just look at our 3 years' worth of average.
This from a farmer in Moultrie County, AM 580 Ag's ability to provide market analysis is something that is not available anywhere else in the business. We hope Commodity Week is important to you as well, and you will support it with your $40 pledge right now and help us to make a $1,000 challenge. The number to call is 217-244-9455.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Mild, showery weather continued across Illinois this week, although the rain wasn't nearly as widespread as originally expected. Temperatures this week continued to run well above normal, with 70s and even some 80s early in the week. A cold front pushed through Illinois Wednesday night and Thursday, knocking high temperatures back about 10 degrees. However, even at that, temperatures remained above normal. The coolest weather was in northeastern Illinois, where easterly winds off of Lake Michigan kept temperatures closer to normal. Rainfall was below normal this week in far northern and in the southern half of Illinois. Above normal rainfall occurred in a narrow band extending roughly from Hancock County in western Illinois to Iroquois County in the east. Most of this rain occurred early in the week as showers and thunderstorms focused along the stalled cold front. As the week progressed, showers and thunderstorms became more scattered. For the month to date, rainfall is normal to well above normal across the northern half of Illinois and from about 50 to 75% of normal across the southern half of the state. A strong low-pressure system will lift north-northeast through the central plains this weekend, bringing another round of showers and thunderstorms to Illinois. More rain is possible on Tuesday when a strong cold front pushes through the state. That will likely be followed by much colder weather through next weekend. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
You're listening to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. On our panel today is Vince Renicky of Strategic Farm Marketing, Brian Stark of the Andersons, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing. How much corn is in the hands of producers versus commercials, Brian? And what does that imply potentially for both basis and futures action?
Well, I think if you look at the last 6 years, Dave, the stocks report this morning showed about 55% of corn carry out in the farmers' hands, 45% in the commercials' hands. What doesn't indicate is how much of that on-farm corn has been sold. I would venture to guess at this point that the majority of at least our customer base is probably three-quarters of their corn crop for 06 sold. They're probably hanging on to around a quarter of it, waiting for, before this report, a summer rally. Basis-wise, I think nearby basis is probably the tougher one to project, but I think every year it seems to get better as we get into April and May when the farmers are in the field planning, focusing on that. The basis that has us worried, and obviously is confirmed by this intentions report, is the new crop. In the last month, we've seen new crop basis drop a dime. Certainly feels awfully weaker than that. The end user in the southeast export market at the Gulf, the CIF values have been very weak. I just feel like new crop basis with especially 90 million acres, there isn't a lot of space to go with some of this corn. So that's going to be an issue this fall and could be a problem as we move through the growing season. Obviously, has a potential, if we don't get all this corn planted, to stay steady where it's at. But right now it looks like it's going to be fairly soft for a while.
Brian, do you think that at harvest we could see corn basis 50 and 60 under?
I don't know if I'd go that far, Dave. I think I could see basis 35, maybe 40 under, but it's certainly a possibility. You look around at some of the local facilities in central Illinois, they're already 35 to 40 under. The amazing basis is what you look out in January delivery. That basis is as wide as 2025 under, and historically we're probably in the 10 to 12, maybe even 15 under range. So the basis right now, you're seeing them incorporate a carry into the market between fall and deferred months, realizing they're going to have issues handling this large crop we could potentially have. Right now, this is all potential, but keep in mind that moving forward, basis feels awfully soft for new crop values.
Based on the weekend weather reports, which is calling for wet conditions, and then next week, which the weather will turn colder, where do you think we open on Monday for corn and beans, Vince?
I think that the Sunday evening session will give us a good indication as to where we perhaps will open on Monday morning. But, you know, I don't see any reason why we should let up a whole bunch from where we thought we were going to open, you know, at the close on Friday. You know, when we look at some of the synthetics, as you suggested earlier, Dave, you know, down around that 360 to 361 to, you know, somewhere in that area, will that change a great deal? I have a feeling it probably won't change a great deal between Friday and Monday. You know, it might be up a dime from there, but still, I think we're talking about opening lower. Weekend weather, and what does that have to do with it? If perhaps we would miss some of these rains, that probably puts more pressure on it. I know it's rained a little bit there Friday, you know, and so that's probably going to hold guys off. But I know there's guys in the field. In fact, there's corn planted in Christian County, I know. So that certainly suggests that we're eager, ready, and just waiting, essentially.
What do you think livestock producers should do to meet their feed needs, given the prices and the numbers that we saw on Friday, Bill?
Well, I believe that if you can go out and get some cash corn bought to, you know, fill your inventory back up, I think that's probably a good opportunity to do that, especially if we open lower again Monday. If you don't have that ability, I think you can look at some strategies of maybe selling some puts, using that money to buy some call options out there in the July. The puts are overvalued some as we see this market down on a day like this, and sometimes you can take advantage of that. You know, sell some put levels that you could live with if the market does get down to those levels. I think we just overall we need to keep in mind here as our listeners are sitting here listening to this show that, you know, what really happened today is the fundamental side of the market drove us down past some levels that we hit stops, we hit support levels, broke those, and the funds jumped on the bandwagon, the speculators sold, and that's why we moved as far as we did. But I don't think we necessarily sit here and say that the fundamental information that came out today was enough to push us down, 85, 90 cents off our highs, but the technicals will.
We would like to thank our panel Brian Stark of the Andersons, Vince Reinecke of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialist. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Keep those pledge calls coming and help us meet a $1,000 challenge in support of AM 580 Agriculture. The number to call is 217-244-9455. This is Dave Dickey.